See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am your host, Joe Jans.
And I am also one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
This is fucking bullshit.
And with us, as always, our super fan, our very own Teddy Duchamp, Mark Piscati.
This is bullshit. Guys planned this.
You know, Joe, that was really good. I was sort of off the cuff. I wasn't even expecting it. You just jumped in. It was beautiful. We didn't plan this.
It feels a little weird. I just thought I'd riff a little, what I could do.
Yeah, no, that sounded good. We should switch back and forth between the two hosts.
Yeah. Oh, that's either great. A or B. That's really the only choices we have.
Just A or B.
Yeah.
This is bullshit right now. This is bullshit because this was my idea. I texted Joe and I said, hey, I want to try something a little different, you know, like maybe change things up. Joe's like, what would that be? I said, I want to actually do the introduction right before Matt does. And Joe says, do it.
I said that's a terrible idea and you should run that by Matt first.
Yes. You did say that. And then I said, I should.
Be misconstrued as do it.
Yeah. I can see how that sounds like a green light to Mark.
I probably just pronounced it wrong.
Yeah.
But then,
you know what? I actually have a really good idea, Joe. Next time a friend of the show, Brian's on.
Don't you fucking dare. You know what?
We just have Brian introduce.
No. Yeah.
In fact, we could have him record an introduction of the show.
We could play it. You know what? Why would we stop at Brian? Let's get Mark and Catherine and
Mark, what's his last name?
Kane.
Mark Kane and Catherine.
Good to know you know all the guests.
Everyone.
Jimmy might as well introduce. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, this is.
Hey, I know how to pronounce Nezbitowski.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah, so do I. Nezbitowski. I know how to do it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just a grocery bagger. That's fucking great. But anyways,
that would be a promotion. I think you're the cart kid.
No. Wow.
The cart kid.
Wow.
But what do they call that guy that goes out and gets the carts?
Mark.
Oh, god damn it. Where's my joke? There we go.
God damn it.
Yeah, oh, that was a good one. In fact, I'm gonna add some laughter. That was a good one.
But just so you know, I actually backed out. No, listen. Just listen. I actually backed out like 15 minutes before. I actually backed out like 15 minutes before we started recording, and I said, hey, I'm gonna back out, I'm not gonna do it, Joe. And Joe said, sent a GIF going chicken, and then I sent a Marty McFly's going nobody calls me chicken, and that's when I did it. And of course, will you stop the baby shit? Stop it.
But he's adorable. I can just picture this little toddler like on Mark's shoulders, making those noises and like smacking him in the head.
Well, it's basically what I hear when he goes off on one of his rants. Speaking of, you just let me know when you're ready for one, Joe.
No, that's fine. Go ahead. It was a nice segue.
Joe's rant.
So it's been a little while since I've had a Joe's rant. It's not that I haven't had things to rant about. I have things to rant about the minute I get out of bed in the morning. But I want to. It's been building up. And I gotta release all this. So this next installment of Joe's rant is about TikTok movie reviewers, if you can call them that, movie critics, maybe, especially in the horror genre. Mm-hmm. So I have a little prepared statement. If you if you review movies on TikTok, please be accurate when comparing the films. When you present a film as being scarier than In a Violent Nature or more gory than the Terrifier franchise, and a movie that will literally make you lose your lunch, it had better deliver. Otherwise, you're just making baseless claims that are grossly misleading. One may think you're simply throwing around these comparisons just to get views or clicks or whatever the case may be. And also, another little tip, baiting your viewers by asking them if they're brave enough to actually watch the movies you recommend is a terrible way to keep viewers. I realize that this rant could also be pointed at all of the viewers as well, not just the critics. And I would like to say I should know better by now, especially when I watch these critics and I look at every single one of the videos that they have in their library. Mm-hmm. And every one of the movies that they review is amazing. Nobody ever says anything bad to say about any of the movies that they watch. And I believe that it is okay to dislike a film. I believe it's okay to criticize a film because you are a critic. Not every movie is going to be fantastic and scary. And I think you should have some scruples, damn it. Tell me that it's not worth my time. Tell me that it's terrible. Tell me why it's bad if you're going to say it's bad, which I hardly ever stumble upon. But otherwise, you're simply pandering not only to the celebrities that you're trying to get an interview with, but also the studios that you're who are making this schlock for your own personal gain. Think about me, the viewer. Think about me as your follower, which is going to happen a lot less now. But try to tell me something helpful about the movie. Not everything's going to be fantastic. Guide me in the right direction. And use some accuracy when you're comparing things. So that's it. That's excellent. My lightly tempered rant.
I love that. And Matt, here's the thing. I would love to see reviews from you on TikTok. I mean, you have over like 1,000, you know, followers and all that. I would love to see reviews from you because you're honest and you're going to say if it's good or not. And
yeah, you gotta. I need to
not to put you on the spot or anything.
No, but to do it, you've got to get good at all the editing on those videos and stuff like that. And I need to, you know, spend time to figure that out. Like, you can't just be sitting there like on my camera right now, and do it. You got to have like backdrop stuff and, you know, little scenes or whatever. And I that's all stuff I don't know how to do yet. So
honestly, Matt, I'd be thrilled if you just had some integrity.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
that,
because that seems to be what's missing across the board. And as far as TikTok movie critics go.
Oh, I thought you were insulting me.
No.
Honestly, Matt, I just wish you had integrity. I don't care if you make
a decent TikTok background for once. Yeah.
I don't care if you make TikTok videos. I just want you to have some integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're great at the, you know, the videos and showing, you know, because I can't figure out TikTok. Like, I just put up a TikTok video and I was like, ooh, you sound. What does that mean? It's like, oh. And then I just made a TikTok video of me doing the IMBD thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I'll post something and it gets nothing. And then like I posted that clip of Oddity and it's gotten over 300,000 views, which is the most by far of anything I've done on there.
Crazy.
I did that one video of It's a Wonderful Life, where I make a case that Mary actually
throws the rock through the window.
Yeah, purposefully got him not to leave Bedford Falls, and she killed George Bailey's dad.
So morbid.
Yeah. Well, it's a horror podcast TikTok, so you could have seen, like, look at that video sometime on there and check out the comments. Like, people got really upset that I said that about Mary Bailey.
I did get upset about it, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time, and I thought it was brilliant.
She is a national treasure, man.
She is.
There goes your integrity right out the window.
I am without my integrity again, Joe. God damn it.
She's so pretty.
Yeah, she was beautiful.
You're just trying to get an interview with her.
Yeah.
Well, she's dead, Joe. She's dead.
takes
she's
a lot.
Fucking
it is
dead.
A horror podcast.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. So, Joe, what have you watched recently?
Not that one has anything to do with the other, or maybe it does. I watched a movie called The Well that I had to purchase or rent for $4.99, probably because some idiot on TikTok may have recommended it. No, I rented it. I did not buy it.
Is that but, so? Is that was that the cause of your rant?
Yes.
Okay.
said this was scarier than A Quiet, or I'm sorry, than A History of Violence, or is that the one that we liked?
In a Violent Nature.
In a Violent Nature.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was scarier than In a Violent Nature, and the gore rivaled the Terrifier series. And in which case, I would love to just throw down the bullshit card because it's not. Anyway, this movie, it was made in 2023, but it was just released in the States. It's about a budding young art restorer. Like she, if you've got old or damaged paintings, pieces of artwork, she will go and help restore them. She gets hired by this woman in this Italian village to sort of restore this medieval painting to bring it back to its, you know, original glory. And she finds herself sort of held hostage in this castle of hers. Mm. And as she's scraping away at the debris that had been on this painting, and she's sort of revealing the whole image, she's finding out that it was a painting of a satanic ritual, I guess, that is revealing that the woman of the house is, this is basically how this woman stays young. And there is a well in the basement where her henchmen are capturing tourists, I guess, throughout the village and throwing them down the well to this creature as food so that he can stay alive and keep giving his blood as a, you know, like a, the blood is what's keeping this woman alive or this woman young,
yeah.
But they have to keep feeding this creature human beings. And there is some fun gore in it. I will give it that. It's not a terrible movie, but it's nowhere near anything to be compared with, you know, Terrifier.
Yeah.
I mean, Terrifier is the gold standard. You can't say these two movies in the same breath, but it was decent. I mean, I'll give it that. The acting was okay. Mm. The script was meh. There's no real jump scares. The moon music was just, you know, filler. Nothing they really seem to focus a whole lot on. But I would say it's not even worth $4.99. If it comes on to Shudder and it's free, yeah, go ahead and watch it. But I wouldn't go out of your way like I did, and I surely wouldn't open up my wallet to watch this. Hmm. But
that sounds like that Del Toro vampire flick that Matt had us watch. What was it? Talk to me, Matt.
The what?
Drinking, you know, the blood.
Del Toro.
Del Toro. Yeah. Who's Del Toro?
Yeah. I can't do the whole thing. You know, did the speech impediment of it.
Oh, Guillermo Del Toro.
Yeah.
Del Toro.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What vampire movie? Oh, Crimson. Oh, Crimson Peak.
Yeah. Was it Crimson Peak where he has to drink the blood to, you know, keep alive and.
That's pretty much every vampire movie ever made.
It's well, no. Okay, yeah, obviously. It had the little kid. He was not a really good actor in it. That was my opinion.
Now we're narrowing it down.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Come on.
I don't remember now.
It was your pick. It was it was a Spanish film. It was the grandpa, and he was come on.
I don't remember, but what I'm not sure. What's your point? Yeah.
So, anyways, it was like that movie, and then also like Keeping Young. Also, Keeping Young and all that kind of stuff. It kind of like I was thinking of Death Becomes Me with Meryl Streep.
What was
Bruce
that
Willis.
Vampire movie where they had the fangs? You know,
and then they drink the blood to keep you young.
No, not that one. The other one with the fangs.
God damn it, it was your pick. What was it? God.
Matt, you really should know every movie you've ever recommended.
I should, but I don't know. For some reason, I can't remember a Guillermo del Toro vampire movie.
It was.
Actually, I was going to surprise you guys, but I figured I'll let the cat out of the bag now. I just recently started going through all of our old episodes, yeah. And I'm creating a database of every time we mentioned a movie or would have seen a movie or recommended it or talked about it for Shocktober.
Yeah.
So eventually we'll have this actual database that we can reference and say, oh, we've already done that one. Because now that we've got, we're on, episode 104? Yeah. We've seen, hundreds, if not thousands of movies already.
Yeah.
So
Wait.
Kronos.
Thank you.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Yeah, I do remember that now. Yes,
see?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now
see, I'm not an idiot. Yay.
Jury's still out. By the way, in honor of Mark, I'm calling this file the IMBD.
Oh, the IMBD. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that how it's said?
The internet mark. Not how it's said. Beta days.
Yeah. Okay. Internet mark beta days.
Okay. So to move on, I also watched Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which I give a resounding meh. I agree with Mark's earlier review where they've introduced the younger Ghostbusters and they're trying to intertwine it with the older crew, and I think there needs to be a line drawn in the sand that says, all right, from now on we're just going to concentrate on one or the other. Mm-hmm. Because putting them all together really is just they're crowding each other on screen time, and the story is what's sacrificed for it. So I didn't thought it was just fun.
I don't know why they have to update it at all. Just have the old crew in there. And I mean, if they want to update it with a character or two, but just have the old guys in there.
Pick a choice, just pick him. I would prefer the old crew.
I would too.
But give it to us.
Paul Rudd needs something to do.
I know. Yeah.
Next up, I watched The Watchers. The Aishana Shyamalan film.
I also watched it.
With Dakota Fanning. I didn't care for this one much either. There is I'm going to end up having to spoil it if I get into this, but there is a subplot that we find out that's occurred later on in the film that is supposed to explain things about the current situation that I have found that explanation, that little subplot, was much more intriguing than this entire film. Mm-hmm. And I would have much rather focused the entire film on this subplot and how it evolved to where we were today. I know that sounds relatively vague, but the story is very slow. It's sluggish. It took forever to just advance the story a little bit. You find yourself losing touch with the characters because you're getting kind of bored because nothing's happened. There's no real desperation or anything's at stake, and not until so much later. And then the things that you do learn about the subplot, the history of all this, was much more intriguing than what I watched on the screen. So
can I, since I watched it, go certainly, in on Mark. This? Yeah, yeah, so I watched it also, and I agree with Joe. The plot of what these watchers are is so more intriguing, and it's fun to actually think about because there's not many films that go on this genre, in my opinion. Dakota Fanning is the lead, right?
Correct.
Yeah. She's fine in it. It's fine. And Joe's right. When you move on into the second part, it's much more intriguing. I kind of think of The Watchers as like a Twilight film. It's kind of like for young adults. And so I kind of back myself as going, oh, this is like meh. I'm thinking this is more of a gateway into horror. For younger people, it's PG-13, so it's not going to be absolutely crazy. I thought this was more like for young adults. And so I started watching it like as a young adult, like watching a horror film for the first time. And I thought it was okay. I just wish that the beginning with the trailers, with the mirror and, you know, the window, that could have been all just like been washed away and try to do something a little bit different with the second half of the film, in my opinion. Other than that, I thought it was okay. I'll give it like 2.5 cuts.
Yeah.
It was fine. Yeah. It was fine. I really do think it's a young adult gateway to horror.
Okay. And then the last film, which I think Mark watched, Matt, I don't know if you've gotten to it yet. I watched Beetlejuice in the theater.
Yep, I saw it too. He's leaving. He doesn't want spoilers. No, he's coming back. Here he
and
is.
He's back.
And he's back.
Just moved a fan, that's all.
No. Go ahead, Joe. You go first. You saw it first.
I had fun with Beetlejuice. It wasn't anywhere near as fun as the original. But I this isn't spoiling anything. There's a majority of this storyline has to do with Jeffrey Jones. And they go through great lengths to talk about Jeffrey Jones, who's not in the film. And I think that they could have probably focused on something else since they didn't want him in the film. So they go into claymation, they go, they build a current character that has no face. And if you're really that adamant about him not being in this film, don't talk about him or find some way that his character is not attached to the storyline. Mention it once and be on with it. But he's such a focal character in this that all it did was draw the attention of why isn't he in it? And I guarantee you there are thousands of people after seeing this film running home and trying to find out why wasn't Jeffrey Jones in this film. And they're just casting a bigger light on how this guy screwed up his entire Hollywood career. So I think they could have written that better. That's my biggest issue with it. They did bring, I mean, it's clearly a Tim Burton film, the artistic style, the way the characters are designed. It's just Tim Burton to a T. You've got Danny Elfman music, which was great. I mean, it was nothing new. It's basically just throw the old Danny Elfman soundtrack back on and hit play. I did like it. Like I said, I just have that one hang up with it that really sucked me out of it. I spent a lot of time in the movie thinking the same thing that everybody else did. Where's Jeffrey Jones? Oh, I get it. Why are they doing this? So that was it.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat with Joe. Why did they put Jeffrey Jones so much into this film? I mean, it's so much effort. I mean, I felt the plot of Jeffrey Jones' character and why he died and all that was more interesting than why Beetlejuice was in the film. It was just like so much Jeffrey Jones, the way Jeffrey Jones died and how his character's walking around. Special effects, phenomenal. There is a character who died in this film. I'll just say Fish was hysterical. Absolutely hysterical for me, at least. Just Fish on a person. That's all I'll say. I love the practical effect, effects on this. I'm going to say that Wyanna Ryder was great in this film.
Easy for you to say.
I thought she was great.
Was great?
Wyanna Ryder.
Who?
Wyanna Ryder.
Wyanna.
You guys are so fucking nitpick on fucking pronunciations. It's fucking crazy.
Okay, Mayaro, cool.
I said what? Wyanna? Okay, anyway. Yeah, Yeah.
IMDb.
So anyways, I thought she was wonderful. And she really, she was great in this film. Same with Catherine O'Hara. I wish they did more with those two characters in this film. And there was a lot. But they were great. There was one scene where Ryder, just you hear something in the house and she walks out and there's this breathing exercise. And it was the biggest laugh that I had. I'm not complaining at all. Matt, stop.
Joe texted me and told me to do that.
Joe, it's not my stop. Fault. Stop. I'm not even bitching right now. I'm actually, you know, Ryder is great.
Moyana?
Breathing.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So when Ryder comes out and she's doing this breath exercise, Joe, I don't know if you found it funny, but I thought it was.
I thought it was funny. Yeah.
I thought it was super funny.
The moose call.
It was great. It was great. And Catherine O'Hara, you know, she just brings it every single time. Justin Theroux, he's great. He's great in it. Talk about the ultimate gaslighter. But let's get down to business. Beetlejuice. I don't know what happened with Michael Keaton. I thought it was one of the worst opening scenes for a character coming back in a sequel that I've ever seen. It was like you had this big balloon of air, you know, and you're just waiting for it to pop and see some energy. And it would just, the air came out of the balloon. And it was just like nothing. It wasn't funny. It wasn't inspired. It was just Michael Keaton. He just woke up and he says, all right, I'm going to do my job. And it was the worst opening scene in a sequel to introduce the main character I've ever seen in my whole entire life. And it just let all the air out of the room. And I'm just like, what is this? What am I watching? I was not inspired by anything that Michael was, you know, Beetlejuice or Michael was doing. It seemed like he just was reading lines off of a card. I was not impressed by his performance at all. I did like the film. There are some good scenes in this. I'm going to recommend it for streaming, not to see it in a movie theater. There are wonderful scenes. There's a twist with this kid and Jenna Ortega, which I wasn't expecting, and I really enjoyed that storyline. I really enjoyed it. But other than that, I think it's worth streaming. It's not worth going to see in the movie theater. I'm going to go three cuts.
I also want to point out that Monica Bellucci is in this film.
Oh,
who
God.
Is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous and amazing, and she is one of the most underutilized people in this film. She is supposed to be one of Beetlejuice's previous wives, and she's got 5, maybe 10 minutes worth of screen time on there. And I wanted to dive into that. That would have been a much more intriguing story than Jeffrey Jones.
It would have been intriguing, you know, like go a little bit more into, I mean, they did go into like some Beetlejuice, you know, back lore and whatnot, but what they did with her character and how she's a wonderful actress, by the way.
Yeah.
They didn't use her at all. No. They didn't use her at all. And then
it's like she was on set for one day.
Yeah. And at the end of the film, you're like, why was she even in the film?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point?
And I thought was it Bob, the shrunken head guys? They marketed the daylights out of those and they're basically now the minions. And you're going to see them everywhere. I've already seen people making Halloween costumes for them, so I don't know.
I just wish they would leave that stuff alone.
Yeah. I mean, I did enjoy it.
So did I. It's just there was so much potential. The practical effects were so much fun to watch. You know, like different people like killed in the underworld and all that. The practical effects was just unbelievable. just tightening up the storyline. It's like, how do you not know, like, what's going on? Tightening up the storyline and make some fucking jokes for Beetlejuice. I mean,
yeah,
it was just...
William Dafoe had more jokes than Beetlejuice.
Oh, he was hysterical. He was hysterical in it. I thought he was, you know. You know, the prosthetics and whatnot, but his jokes were more funny than Beetlejuice. All the jokes were funnier than Beetlejuice. I don't even know, like, everyone's going, oh, Michael Keaton is, like, off the charts, you know? Stay away from TikTok, because he wasn't off the charts. It was just blasé.
Yeah, if the original Beetlejuice, Michael Keaton was at a 10, he's at about a 6 on this one.
He, from the original, I would say that in Beetlejuice, he's at a 4. There was no energy. No energy at all. Nothing. There was nothing out of Michael Keaton. It was disappointing. But the film's still good, which is really crazy to even talk about. It really is. Catherine O'Hara is so great.
Hmm?
Maddie's still going to go see it.
Yeah, this next weekend we're going to go, because we were going to go this weekend with Danielle.
Danielle. But
she got sick, and so we're going to go next weekend with her and her boyfriend.
Is she all right?
Hi, Danielle.
She didn't say. She's not here. She's, no. She can't really respond.
Hi, Danielle.
Still anything else, Joe?
Nope, that's all I watched. Oh, no, I take that back. I forget what it's called. There is a new show on Shudder. Crap. Go ahead. I will look it up while you guys are talking.
Mark, did you watch anything other than the two that you already talked about?
Well, we went long, so I will say I did rewatch an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Hush. I saw it pop up, and I just said, ooh, Buffy. And then I said, which one am I going to watch? And then you, Matt, you just popped up in my head. I was going, I'm going to watch Hush. It's so good.
I watched one where Xander has, it's called Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. I watched that one recently, I think this summer at some point. It's the one where Xander does a love potion. He was going to do a love spell on Cordelia, but instead it works on every woman in the world except for Cordelia.
It's so good.
So good. That was
It's just like that one film, Love Potion Number 9 with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's like a perfect episode.
It is.
What was it, Joe?
Figured out the other thing that I watched is called Horror's Greatest. It's on Shudder. It's a series where they're picking themes and then they interview film critics or people that had to do something with either the current genre or they had something they were attached to the film somehow. But the first episode is called Tropes and Clichés. So they discuss the greatest tropes and clichés throughout horror movie history. Last night I watched episode 2, which was giant monsters, a lot of kaiju, that type of stuff. And then the episode that I have not watched yet, because I just realized it came out today, is Japanese horror.
Oh, cool.
So if I highly recommend everybody watch these. These are fantastic, if for nothing else, but they will give you great recommendations.
Yeah.
They always manage to pick at least one or two movies that I've never seen, but you get a little snapshot of it, like 5-10 seconds while they're trying to set up a clip. And some of these things are like, oh my God, that does look really cool. I'd love to see that. Never heard of it. So if you want to, I suggest watching these things with a notepad and a pen.
Yeah. So. I think Rebecca McKendry and Elric Kane of Colors in the Dark podcast are, they're interviewed on those episodes. They're like talking heads or whatever, you know.
How come we're not on there?
Well, good question.
We're nobody.
What else, Mark, did you watch? Is that it?
I watched Doctor Sleep again. Fuck. This film, God, it's got to be in my top 10 horror now, like at least number 10. I don't know. It's so fucking good. Other than that, no, that's it. That's it.
Okay.
How about you, Matt?
The only movie that I watched, this break was. I cannot recommend this one enough. It's called Red Rooms. And it is actually it's from 2023, but it wasn't released in the United States until this past weekend. And it's basically limited release. It's only playing at certain theaters. Here in the LA area, it's only playing at the Lemley Theater in North Hollywood. And I believe downtown, someplace down at the Alamo Draft House. It's playing there, and it is. I highly recommend this. This is one of my favorite movies of the year. I give it 4.5 cuts. It is really, really, really good. And it's about. I'll read the blurb on it. The high profile case of a serial killer, Ludovic Chevalier, has just gone to trial, and Kelly Ann is obsessed. When reality blurs with her morbid fantasies, she goes down a dark path to seek the final piece of the case's puzzle. And it's way more than that. It really focuses quite a bit on the obsession that people have over serial killers and true crime. And because it focuses on these two women, one of them younger than the other, but they're both, you know, probably in their 20s. I think the main character, her name is Kelly Ann, and I believe her character is in her late 20s and the other one's in her early 20s, but they're both obsessed with this. It basically starts out in a courtroom, and we hear the opening argument from the prosecution and the opening argument from the defense about this guy who is accused of murdering these three teenage girls online, where people pay to watch the girls being tortured and brutalized and then ultimately murdered. And that's where the term red rooms comes from, is that it's these internet deep dark web internet rooms where the people pay to watch people being killed. And one of the girls thinks that the guy's innocent and she's kind of in love with him. The other girl, her motivations are very, very, It's hard to read what her motivations are, why she's there, but she comes day after day. In fact, both these girls sleep on the street outside the courthouse so that they can get in line first to be able to go in and watch the trial. The main girl, Kelly Ann, is so wonderfully played by Juliette Garreppi. I can't remember. It's a French language film. It's French Canadian, but I believe it's probably a French film company. But I don't want to say anything more about it because there's just so many layers to this. It's really, really well done, and it is very disturbing in a very unusual way. And I won't say more than that, but I was on the edge of my seat. Michelle was on the edge of her seat. It's very intense, and intense in a way just a way I've never seen before. It's not tense in an overt way. It's intense in a very understated way. It's amazing. It's an amazing movie, and it's probably my number one. It's certainly in my top couple. And I think it's one that everybody, hopefully it's, from what I've heard, it's going to be available for streaming in November. But if you have it near you, Mark, you might want to check in the Chicago area. I highly recommend getting out and seeing this movie, and hopefully maybe it'll can expand into more theaters. I know the word of mouth online has been pretty strong, and it's one of those that I just can't stop thinking about it. I just can't stop thinking about this movie. And so I go online, and I've gone online to Reddit or whatever, and I've seen, normally those places are not full of very good conversation about these movies. My God, I've seen some things that people are saying about it that I had not thought of. And I was like, whoa. And I'll read things that people are saying, or even TikToks. I know we've been slamming TikTok reviews on this show, but I've seen some TikTok reviews of this and people talking in depth about this movie. Don't watch them right now if you haven't seen it, by the way. I think it's best to go in blind, and I don't want to hype it up too much. And I think that's probably too late, but But it is one, I think it's just best to go in and not know anything about it and just ride the wave, because it doesn't go in directions that you're expecting it to go. I kept thinking there were things going to happen, and it doesn't go there, but it goes in directions that are way more interesting to me anyway. And some of the things I'm hearing I'll see people writing contradictory thoughts about about this main character and her motivations, or things that happened and why it happened. And they'll be contradictory, but they both make perfect sense to me. And they both like make me kind of blow my mind a little bit thinking about it. It's phenomenal. And I know word of mouth, from what I had read, I heard about this movie last spring sometime. A friend of mine who's a screenwriter, he has a friend who's a producer who was part of the production of this movie and sent him a link to be able to watch it online. And so he saw it like, I think, early summer, late spring, and told me about it. So there's been word of mouth about this for a while now, and it finally got released here in the States just last weekend. So definitely it's going to be one. It will definitely be in my top 10. And things change obviously by the end of the year, but it won't surprise me if this is at the top of my list. So again, that's Red Rooms.
Well, you heard it here first. Matt's officially on the fence.
Right?
He's iffy at best about Red Rooms.
I just don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah, it's either way. It's playing right now, like 15 minutes away from me. It's like I could just go see it right now.
Yeah, you should go.
I wanted to.
You should leave right now. You should
it's
go.
It's a definite.
You should leave
right now. Right. Yeah.
Drop everything and go. But yes, soon as you are able to, Mark, it'll be money well worth it for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you steered me wrong like a couple of times, but usually you're like at a 98%.
He's so articulate in the way that he sort of.
What are you talking about? I said a couple of times that I said 98%. Said, well, 98%.
We said it before. Matt has zero integrity.
No, you said that. God damn.
All right. Well.
Well, what's the topic?
The topic is Red Rooms. No, the topic is.
You gotta make that sound first, though.
There we go.
Not that one.
Oh.
The whoosh. There you go.
There we go.
There it is.
It is haunted horror. Joe. Haunted horror.
Let's just do that for like the next half hour.
Can we?
Laugh into the microphone.
What are we listening to?
This is Midnight Syndicate, and the song is Sinister Pact.
Certainly is.
Midnight Syndicate is a group that makes Halloween. They've been making these Halloween soundtracks for nigh on two decades at least, I think. I got a CD of theirs, I think in the 90s was the first time I heard about them. So
you should make the movie to the soundtrack.
I should. Yeah. Yeah. Make a movie that would fit for that. Yeah, that's true. So I have haunted horror. And if you notice that most of these characters are, it's not just that there are ghosts and there's a haunted house, but the characters themselves, the living, are haunted. What's wrong, Mark? Why are you making either that's a poopy face or
an orgasm face?
I'm not sure what that was.
I thought I had something correct and I didn't, so never mind. I thought it was children.
Play the baby song.
Thank you, Jeff.
God damn it. No, you got two fucking films involving children.
But the third one doesn't.
Well, that's why I went, and I didn't say anything. I didn't say fucking children. God damn it. We're like at back at episode 24. Then pick on Mark.
What? When did you mean? You talk about we haven't picked on you from episode 24 to
just
now.
Just shut up. Just go.
Okay. Can I introduce the topic now, please? Yeah,
you interrupted yourself. I just made an expression. Jesus.
Introduced myself. No, because I looked down and you're making like this animated face.
This is not the first time we've stopped.
Excuse me for making animated faces because I'm interested in what you're saying. I'm very animated.
Thank you for that apology.
Can't handle it. If you can't handle it, take my face off the screen. If you can.
I wish I could mute. That would be really, that would solve a lot of issues.
How about I mute myself?
Okay, so the theme is haunted horror, and this is not just about ghosts. It's not about just about haunted places. It's about the living being haunted as well. So I love ghost tales. I love anything having to do with ghosts and the afterlife, the supernatural. I'm a sucker for it, and I am very forgiving to a solid ghost story. I remember that one that we saw. I can't remember whose pick it was. It might have been, it was Joe's Less Than Zero. One of those movies was really, really bad. That was a ghost story. It was with Kate Beckinsale, I think, or someone like that. Oh,
fucking Christ. Yeah, that was Kate Beckinsale. That was horrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. But my forgiveness only goes so far. But I will say that the first film from 2012, directed by James Watkins, is The Woman in Black, starring Daniel Radcliffe. And I hadn't seen this in a long time, and I always kind of thought this was a guilty pleasure. I liked this movie again when I saw it, and this is a Hammer horror, by the way. Hammer does
highest grossing Hammer film.
Yeah, highest grossing Hammer film of all time, and it was the biggest opening weekend for a Hammer film of all time. Which, I mean, that's not saying that much because those Hammer movies back in the '60s, they weren't exactly selling out the Cineplexes or whatever. But this is the story follows a young lawyer, Arthur Kipps, who is ordered to travel to a remote village and sort out a recently deceased client's papers. As he works alone in the client's isolated house, Kipps begins to uncover tragic secrets, his unease growing when he glimpses a mysterious woman dressed only in black. Receiving only silence from the locals, Kipps is forced to uncover the true identity of the woman in black on his own, leading to a desperate race against time when he discovers her true identity. So, yeah, this came out in 2012, and this was the first Daniel Radcliffe movie post Harry Potter. And
he was in that?
Well, go figure. It was the biggest selling Hammer film because it's Daniel Radcliffe right off the tails of Harry Potter.
And he looks like a young man. And then, of course, it also stars, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Kieran Hines, I think is his name. And he was, if you haven't watched the HBO show Rome, I highly recommend that. That is a beautiful 2-season show. And he played Julius Caesar in that. I find him, he's amazing. He kind of upgrades the script of whatever movie he's in. He's just fantastic. So
it was a shame. It was a shame that Rome got canceled. I don't even know how got canceled.
They got through the storyline that they were trying to tell. I mean, they got through. It was only going to go from. It was only going to go from Julius Caesar through the rise of Octavian. So
it should have kept going.
I would have watched it for sure. But anyway. The Woman in Black. So, Joe, what did you think of The Woman in Black?
I love A Woman in Black. I would also like to point out that it also has Janet McTeer, who was Kieran Hines. He played his wife, and she was Mrs. Daly. You would also remember her from The Menu. She was one of the people in the restaurant. She was the restaurant critic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you looked familiar.
So that's it was driving me nuts. Everyone in this town that Daniel Radcliffe goes to is a complete jerk. Nobody's helpful at all. which I felt bad for him right off the bat. I do think it's weird, although I don't know. This took place when?
1860.
Yeah, had cars.
It was just, but his was the first car in the area, like that nobody else owned a car.
And by the way,
it was like 1867. What or
car
something.
Was yeah. that? What car was that?
It was the Ghost. It was a
Silver Ghost.
Silver Ghost, yeah.
By Rolls Royce.
Rolls Royce. Yes. Rolls Royce. Yeah. I think it was 1890s-ish or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. I love that car. The car was absolutely gorgeous. But anyway, I thought it was I had a little difficulty trying to. The car is kind of what threw me off, is being able to pinpoint about the time frame, because if you would take the car out of this movie, you would have a much broader time span of when this could have possibly taken place, in my opinion. I did.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be the, like, no one else in this county owns a car. He's like got the only car. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the house. Oh my God.
The movie's fantastic. There are plenty of jump scares in it that are very well done. I do think it was really creepy. The woman in black is very haunting, I would say. There's plenty of opportunities that pull through with the jump scares throughout this really creepy haunted house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a big fan of those. I am assuming we can spoil this since this is, what, 12 years old?
2012.
Yeah. I mean, if you skip ahead, if you don't want it to be spoiled.
Okay.
Yeah, spoil it.
I did see that the ending where Daniel Radcliffe and his son get impacticus, hit by a train.
Yeah.
That was the original ending of the movie, and it tested poorly. So they made him go back and reshoot a new ending where they're reunited
in
with
heaven?
Their, I personally thought this movie would have been a million times better.
Oh yeah.
If they would just end it with the two getting hit by the train.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Drag me to hell shit.
Yeah. But that being said, I did really enjoy this film. I think it's certainly worth a watch. It didn't disappoint. And I know there hasn't been a sequel yet, but it certainly leaves itself open for one.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously we can't have Daniel Radcliffe be in the sequel.
Right.
Cause he's dead.
Right.
But no, this was,
well, there is a sequel to this film. Oh yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. There's a sequel.
Is it the Lady in Red?
It's rated like 15%. Lady in Red. She's dead.
Oh, there is. Yeah. I see it now. Woman in Black
cheek
2.
To cheek.
Oh, this is
nobody here.
Yeah,
what, don't get me started.
It's called Woman in Black 2, Angel of Death.
Electric Boogaloo.
still womaning.
Yeah.
Mark, what did you think of The Woman in Black?
Look, it's always a pleasure seeing Daniel Radcliffe in a film other than a Harry Potter film, because I think he's a decent actor. This was like his first film right after the Harry Potter series, like we just said. I thought he would have gone a complete U-turn and get away from the Harry Potter stigma as soon as possible. Just like the time period, you know, the clothes that they were wearing and whatnot. It just seemed like, you know, like I just thought like his first film after Harry Potter, he would have gone completely. I mean, obviously he would have had a choice of whatever he could, you know, pick after the Harry Potter. I mean, he was at the peak. So it was a little weird that he went, you know, to like a period piece or whatnot. It's not a bad film. But it's not compelling as I would have liked it to be. The cinematography is fair, but nothing like knocked my socks off. There was one scare for me, and only one scare, and that was the steamed handprint on the window with the woman's face coming at him just with that pitch. Just got my heart just like stopped for, you know, a split second. I don't know. I felt like I was watching like an average haunting film. Nothing really like took off for me where it's going, wow, this is like absolutely amazing. I never had like that kind of feel. The Woman in Black wasn't very scary. The only thing that I was like kind of like compelled with was the rocking chair where he's walking down the hallway, the upper hallway towards the door, and you hear it and you hear it, and he tries to open the door. He comes back. What I found really fascinating is that they didn't stop the rocking chair. That's what I enjoyed about it. They kept it going. They kept it going. And I'm sorry. It's just like, I would have been like held tailing it out of there. Like if that happened, it's a fine film. It's nothing that I'm going to run back to see. The ending, of course, with the mom and the son, I wasn't too, you know, happy about that. It was too like picture perfect, you know. It was like watching Ghost, the Ghost movie with Patrick Swayze going into the light, you know. It was just like, okay, yeah, that's fine. But other than that, yeah, it's just like an average haunt film, and I wasn't too impressed. I like Daniel Radcliffe in it. He's great. I think he's a great actor. So that's what I got from it.
I like Daniel Radcliffe's son.
He was really good. He was a good actor.
That's Daniel Radcliffe's actual son.
Is it?
Yeah, in real life.
I think it's his godson. I think it's his godson.
Is it his godson?
Yeah, I think it's his godson.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up. That's a really good child actor, by the way.
Yeah,
especially at the beginning with the pages and all that. That kid's acting. Like,
you are correct, sir. Like, it is his godson. Yeah.
His godson might have a future, because if that kid is pulling off some of the acting chops of what that kid did in the film, I was really impressed with him.
Yeah, if he'd stop walking out in front of trains.
Yeah, that kid. Well, he's always walking in front of a train.
No sense of direction.
But you guys don't think that like he was like really good, you know?
No, I did think it was really good.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah, just like like the two like bookends of the film. I mean,
yeah,
child acting's great.
I like this one. It's I think a fun little haunting story. I love anything that has frightened townsfolk. I love frightened townsfolk. It's like it is a horror trope that I absolutely
spooking
love.
The locals.
Yeah, I love it. And I love it when somebody's coming through town and the locals get their kids inside and close the windows. I love that trope. I thought that there's like a spinning toy and you see the eyes through it. I thought that was a pretty good jump scare. I didn't understand why she would write, "You could have saved him," under the wallpaper. Like, that didn't make my, and then it seemed like that was just a pure setup. James Watkins also directed Eden Lake, and he is directing the new Speak No Evil remake that is coming out pretty soon. So Eden
Lake. What do you guys think about the new remake of Speak No Evil? Because I mean, we reviewed it, we loved it. Do you guys want to see it?
I'll see it. I'm not going to see the American version. I'm not going to.
You're going to go into the theater, or
probably not. But I'll see it when it comes to streaming. Yeah, Jimmy thought it was. But Jimmy really liked it, and he had not seen the original. And then he saw the original, and he liked both of them a lot. So,
do you know which he liked better? Or?
I don't remember.
Probably better.
Yeah, I don't remember what he said, but he liked both of them. So, okay. So the next movie is from 2016, and that is A Dark Song. Not everything can be forgiven. A determined young woman and a damaged occultist risk their lives and souls to perform a dangerous ritual that will grant them what they want. This was, I believe this is set in England or Scotland. I can't remember if it's British.
Ireland.
Is it? Or I meant Ireland. Yeah, not Scotland. Now, the next two movies, the only one of these three that I had seen before was The Woman in Black. So the next two movies I'd never seen before, and I had never heard of this movie. I had heard of Pulse. I just never had gotten myself to watch it. But this movie, I had never even heard before. I just pulled it up on Letterboxd, and it kept appearing in list after list of great ghost movies. And it's not so much about, I mean, it is about ghosts, but it's about them trying to get to a ghost. And there are, you know, there are ghosts towards the end, which I don't think we should spoil this one at all, because I have a feeling this is one that is not watched. I know it pains you to not spoil a movie, Mark, but I don't want to spoil this. I think it's one we're here to recommend movies that people may not have seen. And if we tell them the ending, then what's the point of them seeing it? A movie, I don't feel as bad for a movie like The Woman in Black, because that's been out for a long time and it was a big hit when it came out. So I don't mind that one so much. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of mid, you know.
I agree.
But this movie, I think this is one that is a hidden gem, in my opinion. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but I think this was a hidden gem that I'm glad I didn't know anything about it when I went into it. I'm really glad I didn't know, because there were some interesting things. I thought it went in a very I thought it went in directions I was not expecting at all. And there were little character moments in this that seemed almost abusive at times, but I couldn't tell what was part of the ritual that they're trying to do and what was part of the guy's proclivities, you know, like what was part of his damage. They're both damaged people. But you know, the point of it is they're trying to do this elaborate ritual that's going to take months and months. She has to go buy a bunch of food, and they're in this house way out in the country, and they have to pour this salt all the way around the house to keep evil spirits out or whatever. And they are trying to conjure the spirit of her dead son. And the idea is that so that she can speak to him and talk to him and interact with him. Their motives, both of their motives, but especially her motives, become less honest as the movie goes on, and we find out that she has other ulterior motives as well, and there's a little bit more to the story. But I thought both the performances were great. It's a single basically a single location film, and I thought both of these actors were really good. Catherine Walker, I thought, was fantastic, and I looked to see what else she's been in, and she's mostly been, I don't think she's had very many starring roles from what it looks like to me, but she's really good. And Steve Oram, who plays her counterpart in this, he's been in the Paddington. I think he does some voice work in the Paddington movies. He was in The World's End. I'm not sure what character he was in that, but he's in that. And then, he has quite a few movies under his belt, but I didn't recognize him from anything. I don't know if you guys did or not, but I thought that this was a pretty interesting film to me, and I'm glad that I got to see it. So Mark, what did you think of A Dark Song?
When Sophia asks, the world isn't just science, is it? And Joseph replies, science describes the least of things, the least of what something is. Religion, magic, bears to the endless things of the mystery. I fucking love this film. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. You know why, guys? Do you know why? Do you guys know why?
It's a good movie. I don't know.
It's in English.
Because it took an entire film to explain and show how to connect to the other side. God bless them. They took their time. Mm-hmm. They explained it in detail with brute force. Sometimes when Sophia asked the question, and Joseph says, because I fucking said so. Mm-hmm. Just fucking do it. It's just like he knew the severity of what situation they were in. When they poured salt around the house and all that, and he stopped, he's going, are you in or are you out? And he's asked her so many times before, are you serious about this? Are you serious about this? Yes, I'm serious. He made a smile and went, whoop, and they're locked in. I love the fact that this is like just locked into a house. You can't leave. If you leave, you're done. Mm-hmm. You're done. And it's wonderful. The intricates of just each room that they did, you know, salt and writings. They went from Hindu to Chinese to Japanese writing. It was all over the place. It wasn't just Christian. It wasn't just, you know, one religion. It was everything. It was shaving the back. It was just the little tiny things that they were doing. Even to with the masturbation scene. I fucking love that scene. Not to watch, you know, a woman. Shut up, Joe. Shut up. I love this film.
Yep.
No. No, I really love this film. Stop.
Okay.
That scene was so good because, like, I need to make you pure. Because, like, she was going, like, we're going to have sex. He's going, no, I need to have you pure. He mastered. Shut up. Who's laughing?
No one.
Nobody said
we're listening to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I heard Joe going... or fucking sniffling.
Must be the
like
ghost.
Maybe
there's a ghost.
It's not the ghost. Anyways, that scene was like really, really like amazing to watch. And she got really upset because she thought she was going to have sex and have a release and all that kind of stuff. He's going, no, I need to have you pure. There was just such scenes going through this. And you weren't, most horror films that are lazy, just they have one ritual. And then, boom, you see the demon and all that kind of stuff. This goes into, like, steps and levels that I've never seen before in a horror film. And that was really fun. Steve Oren, that Matt, you were talking about, who played Joseph, he was just so good. You didn't know if he was, like, a speakeasy guy, if he was, like, a trickster, if this
con
was
man.
All con man.
Yeah.
You didn't know if this was going on, and you could see Sophia just going through that motion. It's going, you know, nothing's happening. And it's just such a slow burn where I just enjoyed everything about this. The only problem I had with this film was at the end with some maybe demons. At the end where it was just like, you know, maybe dragging somebody. I didn't think that was necessary. I thought that could have been left alone and maybe gone a little bit, you know, further down the plot line. Other than that, I enjoyed it completely. Completely. I highly recommend it. I give this film 4 cuts.
Nice. Yeah, I think I do too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is on Shudder too, if anybody wants to watch it.
Please watch it.
Joe, what did you think of A Dark Song?
I really enjoyed this film for a few reasons. First of which, I was a big fan of her reasoning as to why she wanted to start this ritual. Mm-hmm. And then she changes her mind, or I should say she changes her answer to Joseph as to what her reasoning is. And then I like that one even better. Mm-hmm. Now I will say the only
to everything,
right? Yeah. Yes. And I will say the only part of this film that I didn't like was her actual final reason for doing this ritual. That one, I was kind of hoping the second reason that she had, which was more vengeful. I was a huge fan of, and I was waiting, like hoping that's what it was going to end up being. The other part of it that I really enjoyed was the movie kept me guessing about whether this Joseph is a con man or if he really is able to pull off this ritual. He does tell her that he's done it 3 times before, 1 time at work, the other 2 it didn't. He, of course, never takes responsibility as for why it didn't work the other 2 times. It's always blamed on somebody else.
Right.
But you don't know if this guy is just a narcissistic, chauvinistic pig who's trying to take advantage of her financially or sexually. Or if he really is what he claims to be. Mm-hmm. And I know this isn't ripping off or anything, but I did see it. There's an extreme similarity scene with the bathtub between this movie and Constantine, which we previously watched.
For our comic book theme,
which I kind of saw coming. I was hoping that was going to be at least a little different, but it pretty much had the same effect on our main character. So, but it was very enjoyable. It did move along very quickly. It's only an hour and 40 minutes long, but I was enjoying this all the way throughout, and it keeps you guessing. And even when one thing that you're guessing on has either been proven true or false, there are still plenty of other things. Very entertaining. Again, I highly recommend this.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
It's fantastic. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this one, and I can't believe I had never even heard of this movie. Never heard of it. So, nope. And it just happened to be on Shudder too. So, no, nice. All right. So our last movie of the bunch is from, where is it? There we go. From 2001, and this is Kiyoshi Kurosawa's, it's become a bit of a cult classic, Pulse. And the tagline on this is, in the immense city of Tokyo, the darkness of the afterlife lurks. The darkness of the afterlife lurks some of its inhabitants who are desperately trying to escape the sadness and isolation of the modern world. And this is definitely, I think, very much tied to its time as the world was moving into the internet age. I think it really played on the worries and fears of where the internet age could take us, how it might serve to separate us as people. This is one I had not seen. I had always heard about it. And I saw this same director, Kiyoshi Kurosawa. He made Cure, which is a movie that I reviewed a few years ago on CineScare. It might have been one of my Shocktober picks. And I really liked that one. It had a bit of a almost Seven vibe in a way, but it was very interesting. I really liked that. And I hadn't seen anything else of his until this spring, the movie Chime. I don't know if you recall, but it was a movie I reviewed, and it was one where you have to go to like some weird website to rent the movie, and it gives you 24 hours access, but it's like this weird payment system that feels almost like I'm uncertain about putting my credit card number here, but it all worked out. And this is apparently he's trying this new way of getting the movie out there. But Chime was one that I didn't know if I got it. I appreciated parts of it. It's not very long. It's only like 70 minutes, I think, but I wasn't, or no, 40 minutes. I think it's almost a short film. It's like a long short film almost. I wasn't sure if I got it. And now I want to go back and watch it because this movie has a very similar tone. And so it's starring I'm not even trying to say their names. Hirohiko Kato, Kumiko Aso, Koyuki.
Put that in a bumper right now.
But this is one, I've got a lot of notes, so I'll let you guys go and if there's anything left, but I like this one. Mark, what did you think of Pulse?
Oh, me first, yeah.
Or no, sorry, Joe, go ahead. I think it was Joe. Mark went first last time, right?
Yeah, go Joe. Go Joe.
I don't know that it matters. I did not like this film.
Yeah.
One of my notes is, this is boring. I'm bored. The pacing is slow. Nothing seems to be moving along. None of this is frightening, not the ghost nor the music, not the setting or the story. I was bored for 2 full hours. I watched the whole thing intently and trying to figure out what's going on. All I know is that people are hanging themselves, turning into charcoal drawings of themselves on the wall, and then eventually confetti. And I had to like do research to try to figure out what was it that I just watched. And I get it. I understand the story. There's a lot of duplicity with how we are separating ourselves from each other in society because we're letting technology invade ourselves. We're spending too much time online and we're all dying inside these relationships that we have with other people. But I just thought it was so slow. And the only thing that I really enjoyed creepy-wise was there's a scene where one of these guys is, I don't even understand the settings. he walked down a flight of stairs and there was a woman down the end of a hallway who's walking towards him very slowly, mm-hmm. like in slow motion. I thought that was creepy, although mm-hmm. he hides from her by just like ducking behind a couch, even though she's clearly seen him. It's almost like a baby seeing something they don't like and then covering their eyes mm-hmm. in hopes that it will go away. All the way to the ending with the boat, the guy she was with was dead and then now he's alive, but he's got enough strength to climb down onto a boat, and then they get onto a bigger boat, and I just didn't care where they were going. I was so lost on this film. I'm sorry, this is not one for me.
Mark, what did you think of Pulse? I have like 1,000% different reaction to this movie, right, than you
do. Sure you do, but you are a ghost guy, and I am I want to see someone's jaw ripped off their head guy.
I like both, but I loved this. Yeah. Mark.
So ghosts have used the internet and they went viral and destroyed the world, right? It's sad how
it's basically trying to suck everybody.
So we had to spend it with the most boring people in the world. I didn't like this movie at all. It was hokey. It wasn't scary. The film's editing was off. The acting was subpar. It was way too long, which is a shame because I like the idea of it all. I like the idea of the whole.
Well, you might like the remake
premise. I might. I mean, did it have moments? I didn't think it had any moments. It was an hour and 30 minutes when I checked how much longer this was. It was just so slow. I didn't care anything about the characters, anything. And there was one part of the film where the girl looks out with the main lead character, the guy with the who liked video games, I guess. And they're looking out the window and they're looking for the girl that just shot herself in the head. And she didn't shoot herself in the head. She just looks out the window and sees an abandoned warehouse, just going, maybe we should look there. And then they go look there, and then she's there and she shoots herself in the head. And then he's going, she shoots herself in the head, and the guy goes, you know, help me, we have to get her to a hospital. And then he picks her up and then just throws his phone down. I don't know what direction this director was going at. Who the fuck cares about a gas cap? Like, all this stuff is going on. He's filling up, you know, gas for a car, I guess. And then the gas cap rolls into the red tape, you know, doorway and all that. And then he just walks into that room and all that shit happens. I don't know. This film.
I've seen this movie and I don't even know what Mark's talking about with the gas cap.
It was the gas can at the end in the thing.
Okay.
I'm just like, I just didn't know what I was watching. It's like, I was looking for like moments where I'm like, okay, like I'm going to get into this. I threw my phone because I start grabbing my phone. I'm just going, oh, let's see who texted me or something like that. And then I said, Mark, watch the film. I threw the phone. This film did nothing for me. Absolutely nothing for me. I have no feelings for this film. I was like, I don't even know like how to like respond to this film for the podcast. I did not like this film at all. I'm gonna give it one cut. Yeah, it's just it didn't do anything for me. Nothing at all. It had a great idea, but nothing was done to make me interested in this film at all.
I have completely opposite reaction as you guys. I thought it was mesmerizing. I thought that there were little moments. There was like a bottle that fell on one table and you could see like a light shine in the TV screen. I loved that. There's a lot going on in every shot, but it's hard to follow. and read at the same time, like, because there's so much going on in every shot that, and it's, they're all mostly wide shots. Like almost every shot is a wide shot with a shot of the room with a stationary camera. And, but you can't read at the same time as you're trying to figure out what's going on in the scene. So this would, I wrote, this would be a perfect movie to raw dog if you had the opportunity, but this didn't have, didn't even have a, what is it? Dubbing, you know, it didn't have a dub version on, at least not on Paramount Plus.
I did look for one. It does not exist. I was going to raw dog this.
Yeah. Whenever you hit your mute button, it like goes like as soon as you get on.
Okay.
let's see. Yeah, it's mostly wide shots. I loved the woman walking scene. I agree, Joe. I liked that scene. I thought it was very creepily done. They hired like a dancer, I think, to do that scene. And I thought, I don't know, there was something just unsettling about her face too. There's just little things like when they were in the library, when he's talking to that kid in the library and they see that boy, there's like a girl just kind of sitting with her back to them. Little details like that. I didn't have any idea what job any of these people have though. Like there's the actress named Kiyoki, her and the long-haired guy, they do something with computers, obviously. And then the other people do something with plants. I thought that was fascinating. But it turns out it's plant sales. Finally, one of the people answered the phone and said it's a plant sales shop.
So the end of the world and all this is going on and we're going with plant sales people.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. I loved it. And the way it's shot, almost every scene almost looks like a dollhouse. I loved the kid's Gillies shirt. Where did he get a hold of a Gillies shirt?
And a Denver Broncos shirt.
Yeah. It's just so much about loneliness, right? And that death is being alone. Like that after you die, it's just pure loneliness. Which I find that existential dread very effective. But there was the only real problem I had with this, I think it probably could have been a little tighter. But I was fascinated by this movie. The only real problem I have is that they kept separating, even though they knew that they shouldn't separate, because that's kind of once everybody separates, that's when this thing comes out and gets them and they need not to not separate. And they kept looking here, you wait here, I'll go get gas, or here, you wait here, I need to run in and grab this thing. They kept doing that over and over, even though they knew they shouldn't. So that I found a little frustrating. But yeah, I really liked this one. It's obviously, I had a feeling you guys weren't going to like it, which is why I saved my notes till after. But I thought it was fascinating. So
speaking of running in this film, did you notice like everybody running with the flailing arms? Just the worst running I've ever seen. They just run with flailing arms. Nobody noticed?
I didn't really notice that.
I
don't know. I could give the Mark excuse. A lot of people like this. That's the Mark reason.
What are you talking about?
You say that a lot. But when Joe and I don't like a movie and you do, you'll be like, a lot of people really like this. A lot of people feel that way.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's just like coming back at me because Joe and I didn't like the film. So he's just
pulling the Mark reasoning out.
A lot
of people like this.
Wow.
So those are my three movies, haunting horror.
It's kind of like the dread they were feeling in this film. Is the dread you were feeling with you not dealing with Joe and me not liking this film?
No, I had a feeling. I knew Joe wasn't going to like it, but so our next episode is Joe's pick. So Joe, tell us what your pick is.
Okay, because we changed how we're going to format this podcast of ours down to three movies, I started looking for themes that have to do with threes. So my first pick in this new format, of course, is The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. right. So the first movie we're going to be watching, I can't wait because I've never seen this, 1987's The Stepfather.
Never seen
it. Is that the one with Jim Belushi?
No.
No.
Okay.
This is the actor's name is Terry O'Quinn. He played the dad in Hellraiser.
And he's from Lost.
Yes, he was in Lost.
Hmm.
You look him up. You'll know. Okay. He's in millions of things.
What's it? So, oh, The Stepfather. That's right. Okay.
The Stepfather, 1987. And that is available for watch on Tubi and Peacock. This next one, sorry, it's a rental, but it's worth it. It's the only one out of these three that I've seen. Of course, we're going with Elijah Wood and Macaulay Culkin,
The Good Son. Yes.
You can rent that at any Blockbuster video.
Oh my God.
On the nose. On the nose. Yes.
It was that, or I was gonna like at the last second throw in Children of the Corn, but I haven't seen The Good Son since it came out in 1993, so I wanted to watch it again.
Oh, I haven't either.
And Macaulay Culkin's first F word.
And then of course, for the Holy Ghost, I mean, for God's sakes, there's a million movies I could have picked. So I picked one I had never seen or heard of actually before, but this is a John Carpenter film.
I thought it was going to be Ghost. Joe, what the fuck? How do you drop that ball?
It's not a horror movie.
Never.
It is a horror film. I would never
in my life want to watch Ghost again. No, we're going to watch. Joe! We're going to watch John Carpenter's The Ward. Starring Amber Heard.
Oh, yeah. I think we haven't watched that on here.
No.
No?
No.
I've never seen it. I've never heard of it.
I think I watched John Carpenter. So. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Great. Fantastic.
Mark, if you want to watch Ghost, you go right ahead. You don't have to watch it.
I already did. I watched it last week. It was phenomenal. It was great. Made me cry.
You just see Mark with his shirt off in his apartment with the clay.
Jared Harris is in The Ward. Huh. I like Jared
Harris.
What
a disappointment. What a disappointment.
I like Jared Harris, too.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean a disappointment?
You haven't even seen it. Mark's going to hate
the father, it. Father, the son. No, it's the father, the son, the ghost. You could have done Ghost and you didn't do Ghost.
You could say Holy Spirit. Could have
done The Omen. Yeah.
You could just say Holy Spirit instead of Ghost, by the way, Joe, that we can get that thought out of Mark's head.
Okay, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
No, we already said it.
Yeah. So anyway, those are the three movies. And that also is available on Tubi and Peacock.
Oh, I believe. All right. And The Stepfather is on Canopy and Amazon Prime, right?
Oh, it is. Okay. I saw that it was on Tubi and Peacock, where both The Stepfather and The Ward are.
Yeah. The Stepfather, I think, is available on almost everything. It's Plex, Tubi, Peacock, Canopy, Hoopla, Amazon
Family
Prime.
Video.
Yeah.
Stepfather, I've never seen, and it's such a cult classic. And have you guys seen it?
No, I've heard great things about it.
I haven't seen any of these. Maybe The Ward.
I think
I saw The Ward, maybe. What was the first one you said, Joe?
Stepfather was first.
The Good Son.
Then The Good Son.
Yeah.
And you've never seen The Good Son, Matt?
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, I remember bringing it home from Blockbuster Video and watching it. But
I'm excited about The Stepfather.
I'm excited about all three of these. Another John Carpenter film I've never seen.
Could have been good.
Yeah, I'm excited for The Ward and The Stepfather. Yeah. The Good Son's one of the worst movies I think I've ever seen in my fucking life.
It's not.
It was back when Macaulay Culkin couldn't act.
Yeah, but you got Elijah Wood in there. He's creepy. David Morse is a very, very good kid actor.
I do like me some David Morse. Yeah, I do. He's got a good face.
David Morse is really good.
He's a very stern actor.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a good face, though. I like his face.
He's great in The Negotiator. Saint Elsewhere.
Green Mile.
Yeah.
Fucking Saint Elsewhere.
The Rock.
David Morse was in... Oh, yeah, was he? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was probably like a Marine or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the Marines in The Rock.
Yeah, there you go.
He was one of the guards on the Green Mile. Huh. Guy's in like just everything.
Yeah, he was there for a while. He was in a lot of stuff. I think it all started with
Lights Out,
Saint Elsewhere,
Disturbia. Saint Elsewhere.
Ugh. He was in Hearts in Atlantis too.
Yeah,
that was the movie that terrified Joe.
Fucking start with that.
Yeah, The Rock, 12 Monkeys, The Langoliers.
Yeah, he's.
What was he doing? Who was he in 12 Monkeys?
I don't know. Mm. Monkey 7? I don't know.
Interesting. Oh, he was in Contact.
Yeah. Oh, that was a great. No, he was the dad, wasn't he?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Jodie Foster's dad?
I think we've run out of oxygen.
Yeah, I think we have.
All right.
All right. Well, I guess. That is those are the picks for Joe. And next, or I think before next time, you should go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out the merchandise. Check out the new shirt that Joe designed for our upcoming horror short on Halloween night, which we are going to be shooting in just a few weeks. And
no, to clarify, we're not telling people to go on Halloween night to buy a shirt. The name of the movie. No.
The name of the movie,
is
on Halloween night. You should go today.
You should go now.
Right now. In fact, by the way, this episode is coming out on Friday the 13th.
And Mark Kane said Cinemark is doing Friday the 13th Part 4. I'm going to be watching that.
It's never funny.
I know. It's always funny.
I looked it up, and Friday 13th is playing at Cinemark Theaters. So go see it because it's the best Friday 13th.
When is it playing? This Friday?
Ever. Yes, this Friday. Only What's this the Friday. Date? Friday 13th.
Oh.
Oh, is that on the 14th?
All right. No, not Saturday the 14th. You like the movie.
Oh,
no,
they should play that. It's Saturday.
Shut up, man.
That's the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy our merchandise and support the show. Please, if you have not gone to our Facebook group, we have a great, great little horror Facebook group on Facebook. And it's called, what is it? Cinescare Horror Fans, I think is the name of it, right? It should be. and we post news and anything we've seen recently.
Funny things.
Funny stuff. Mark.
And we respond back like
nudes.
Yeah. We're
all the time.
We're on there. Everybody's on there.
Nudes.
Yeah.
Live nudes. Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the deal with like everybody's deal with like me at the Beetlejuice theater? Like I was too close. I wasn't that close.
It did look like you were in the first row.
Oh my God. There's no way I could watch a movie from that distance.
No.
I was fourth row, but it's like our rows are. No. Our rows are like very spaced back. You know, it's like from A to like A, B, C, D,
I don't know. Maybe it was
A. Like H.
Maybe it was the. Maybe it was the photograph.
It was the angle.
It could be because it looked like you were.
I would
right there.
Never be that close. I would never be that.
Yeah,
close.
I couldn't. I saw one of the Harry Potter movies that close just because I went with my brother and his kids and they were when they were little and that was the only seats we could get and we were like in the front row. It was murder trying to see. So, all right. Well, I guess that's it. We will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
With the masturbation scene, I fucking love that scene.